This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And the weather outside matches the football mood for New York football. Before we even get into the treat that is New York football, and the first time each team has started 0-5 in the same season ever, we say good morning to Chris Canty, and congratulations, because you're probably the one guy that's happy this morning on your team winning a title last night.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. That's the 17th chip for my Los Angeles Lakers, and LeBron James setting a little bit of history on the way to making his fourth championship run successful. Fourth ring for him, but he becomes the first player to win NBA Finals MVP with three different organizations. So this is one of those that's a sweet one, Dave. With all of the stuff that's been going on, the players having to confine themselves to the bubble for months, the fact that they were able to have the mental fortitude to continue to go through the process and go through the Western Conference Finals and gentlemen sweep everybody in the West, and then LeBron to wrap it up in six, I feel pretty good about it, Dave. I feel really good. And if I'm not mistaken, we're the odds-on favorite to win the chip next year. So
you are. So that's four for LeBron. And the bubble was a tremendous success. Tremendous success. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So you didn't win a championship this weekend, Rick. But you did go 3-0 in your pick. So congratulations on that.
Meaningless. Meaningless, David.
Why meaningless?
Because my football team is trash.
Oh, yeah. They're not good.
I know how you feel now. Like I'm like Sherry Rothenberg. I'm dead inside. I'm like Kim Kardashian in a loveless marriage with Kanye. I'm dead inside. I'm apathetic to this team. It's painful for me to watch it.
Told you. But you make it sound like you have something so awful, and the Giants fans have something so wonderful and great. I mean, the Giants.
At least you're competitive.
0-5. Stop it. Stop it with the at least we're competitive. You're 0-5, Rick.
Yeah, you're 0-5, but you're actually, I mean, you're rebuilding. We all know what you're trying to do. You're rebuilding.
And so are you.
No, we're not supposed to be rebuilding. We're in year three of Sam Darnold. You got to make a decision in May about his fifth-year option, and you're already leaking around. I got Schefter leaking out what kind of trade compensation you'd get from Sam Darnold, like greasing the skids, because we're not going to win a game. Maybe we win one, and we get the first overall pick, and we've wasted the third overall pick on Sam Darnold. And he'll go to, I don't know, San Francisco or Pittsburgh or Indianapolis, and he'll flourish. Just like Robbie Anderson's doing now in Carolina, because he's in a system that fits him. It's great. I love it. Everyone that gets away from Adam Gase seems to have tons of success, and then you play under Adam Gase, you become, outside of Jamison Crowder, who, I mean, the guy continues to be
good.
Great at what he does, but that's about it.
You know what, Rick? Maybe we're looking at this thing the wrong way, man. I mean, everybody that plays for Adam Gase eventually goes somewhere else and thrives, so maybe Adam Gase is the farm system for the NFL.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, you could have had Matt Rhule. You could have had Robbie Anderson.
Hold on.
Your organization chose not to take either of those guys on.
Do me a favor. Just do me a quick favor, right? This is, I mean, one of the – maybe the surprise team of the NFL season. They're right up there if they're not the team as the Carolina Panthers, correct?
Yeah, no question about it.
Okay. I mean, so with – not just Matt Rhule. Who came along with Matt Rhule, Dave?
Brady?
Yeah, Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty damn good at what he does, right?
Very good.
Yeah, we could have had that. Staff.
They didn't. Exactly. The Jets didn't want Matt Rhule to bring in his own staff. They wanted to force feed him, and he said, "No, thank you." He knew he was going to get another job, and already they were supposed to be rebuilding. They were supposed to be bad. They lost the best running back in football. Right? The Giants lost Saquon Barkley. Their offense completely stinks. The Jets lose whoever they lose. Their offense completely stinks. They lose Christian McCaffrey. They're supposed to be a team that's tanking. You look at Carolina. They're sitting here at 3-2 today.
Yeah, but you can't lose what you never had. You don't. Like, Joe Douglas did this team no favors with the offseason that he had. No favors at all.
None.
Like, I mean, they're deficient at all. I mean, you name the position, and they're most likely deficient at it. I got Chris Herndon dropping another pass yesterday.
He stinks. I mean, there's even Rich Cimini, who's the most mild-mannered, like laid-back, easygoing, nice guy, tweeted yesterday, this guy stinks. He's terrible. He's unplayable. How do you drop that pass? That's a touchdown right there.
At the very least, a first down.
And he got away with a fumble in the second quarter. And he got away with a fumble in the second quarter. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, he's bad. And most of the guys that we've seen on the Jets that we identified as young players that they could potentially build around have regressed under Adam Gase. We saw flashes of him 3 years ago. And then it's like, okay, with Adam Gase 2 years in his system, you would think it would be getting better. But it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And so you have a coaching problem. And nothing's going to change about this team until you change the coach. The Atlanta Falcons finally figured it out yesterday. They lost at home to the Carolina Panthers. They realized, you know what? This team is not going to play better. This team is not going to find themselves on the winning side of these types of games until we get rid of our head coach. So for the sake of the team, for the sake of the general manager being able to do his job and evaluate the talent that's on the team, you're going to have to get rid of the head coach so you can be more competitive. Even though it was a one-possession game in the third quarter, there was no doubt that the Arizona Cardinals were going to win that game. No doubt at all. There was no question in anybody's mind. The Arizona Cardinals were absolutely going to win that game.
Chris, which is exactly why what you just said about this team and what you saw, I mean, what you see every week. I mean, they're losing games by an average of 17 points. So it's more than two scores they're losing these games by. They get blown out. It's the sixth time in Adam Gase's career as the New York Jets coach they've lost by 20-plus points.
Yes.
That's exactly why you can't fire him now. Because you don't want to all of a sudden have, you know, a new head coach and this team actually plays with some effort and they accidentally win a few games.
Correct me on what you're trying to do. Are you trying to evaluate the talent that's on the roster or you just want to tank and just make sure that you get the first overall pick?
Tank.
Well, it's going to take more than just a quarterback in order to fix the fortunes of the Jets. Haven't we learned that lesson by now? You had the third overall pick and you ruined him because you don't have a supporting cast around him. So to me, this has got to be as much about a talent and a culture issue as it is about finding a generational talent at the top of the draft in Trevor Lawrence. It has to be.
Yeah, but at least it makes the job more desirable if you have the first overall pick.
It makes the job desirable, but I mean, there are also going to be some other jobs on the marketplace that you're competing with. The Houston Texans job is going to be pretty damn desirable because guess what? It's not potential with their quarterback. You've actually seen him do it. You're talking about a guy at his best, a top five quarterback in this league.
Oh, they have talent on that roster too.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like the Jets aren't going to have any competition when it comes to trying to find the most qualified candidate. But just based on some of the things that we saw yesterday, man, it's inexcusable. Like, as a Jets fan, you shouldn't accept it. Like, you get a great play by Neville Hewitt, tips the ball, Avery Williamson gets an interception, you get the ball inside your own 10, and you start that drive with a delay of game?
It's amazing.
How is that even possible? But the crazy thing is, Dave, this is not the first time we've seen them do that.
No.
They did it up in Buffalo in week one.
Off a timeout. It is. How about this now? The Jets are the fourth team over the last 30 seasons to lose each of their first five games by multiple possessions, meaning nine or more points, and the first since the 2013 Jaguars. Stats Incredible, brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. The 2013 Jaguars 4-12, the 2000 Bengals 4-12, and the 91 Colts 1-15. I mean, really, outside of Jamison Crowder, there's almost nothing to be optimistic and positive about with the Jets right now. Almost nothing.
Dave, they're minus 86. Their point differential is minus 86.
Well, I mean, there's no two ways about it. Rick, they stink. You said you're apathetic. Be apathetic. Just sit there and watch the games.
I don't want to watch the games.
Well, you have to.
I was going back and forth with Carlin yesterday. I mean, it's like I would probably take waterboarding over and have to watch the Jets games at this point. We're going to have a week 6 watch party in Guantanamo. That's how bad it's become. I mean, you're sitting here throwing around nuggets. I mean, it's mind-boggling. To watch this team. You could almost have scripted what was going to happen yesterday. Was Kyler Murray going to have a career day? Probably.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
Well, they don't have any playmakers on defense. None. They had 500 yards. If they didn't take those knees at the end of the game, they would have over 500 yards of total offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. Honestly, I have no idea what you do. And I got to watch these NFL games with all these rookie wide receivers making huge impacts on their team. Our guy can't get on the field. Mekhi Becton, I mean, the one bright spot. He's out. He's missing games. I can't evaluate Sam Darnold because he's hurt. Not that I think it would help anyway in this offense. I'm reading stats today with Rich Cimini. How many different teams? I mean, you watch the Rams. You watch the Niners. All these different teams with, you know, offensive minded head coaches. Even the team you watched yesterday. The amount of motions and everything else. The amount of motions right now in the NFL, it's crazy. I mean, with the deception trying to, moving defenders' eyes and everything else.
Yeah, that Chase Edmonds touchdown was because of motion.
Oh, my God.
May was in man coverage, and his guy motioned across the formation, kick out block. Chase Edmonds cuts it because Marcus May overruns it, and you got a guy running 29 yards downfield to the end zone untouched again.
Yeah, another flag football
again.
Touchdown. Again. Dude. The NFL is going in that direction. Gase is going in the opposite direction. Where he's now he's
so
now
no from, motion.
He's doing
everybody
no, yeah.
be static.
Yeah. He's less motion than he did last year. When the offense was terrible. Even when you try a trick play, it doesn't work.
Why make that call in that situation, though? I didn't understand that.
You name it. Which one?
No, you know the one I'm talking about.
The handoff
midfield,
to the
midfield, beginning of the fourth quarter, the flip to Jeff Smith, the reverse pass. Like, why make that call at that situation? You were moving the ball. What are you doing?
Chris, you have more running backs than you know what to do with. Why would you, with a guy who he's caught one pass. He's the third string tight end. Why would you?
The fullback dive? Oh, that was a great call. That was a beautiful call. Third and one fullback dive with the tight end. And the great part about it is the announcers highlighted the cutback lane that any fullback or any tailback would see on a belly play. Like, it was right there, clear as day, where Travis Wesco should have went. But you saw where he did go because guess what? He's a tight end. He's a guy that's used to running in the open field, not between the tackles. Probably not a good idea to hand it off to him. And then, knowing that you were 0-5 on your previous fourth down attempts, you're going to decide to hand it off to Le'Veon Bell, knowing that your offensive line can't get any movement at the point of attack. That's brilliant. It's beautiful.
When you actually have a running back that's more equipped to actually pick you up, like you don't think if you hand that ball off twice to Frank Gore that he's going to pick up the 1 yard field?
Oh, I have no question.
Thank you.
I have no question. Frank Gore is going to get a yard. No question.
And how big is Joe Flacco? We can't go quarterback sneak? Is that just against the rules? We only do that once in a while?
I don't think Joe Flacco is in a hurry to quarterback sneak with a jacked up neck. Just saying.
And he actually wasn't bad. I mean, early on, he was clearly rusty, but I mean, he was actually, you know, using his legs.
No, he wasn't terrible at all.
Terrible.
I thought the offense looked markedly better.
The defense quit yesterday.
But I thought the offense looked better.
Defense was brutal yesterday.
Oh, defense was bad.
Well, because their offense, they have no chance. What chance do they have playing good defense? The offense can't score points. The offense is awful.
They're on the field all the time. All the time.
And it just highlights how bad your wide receivers are, too. I mean, just the catch that DeAndre Hopkins made was ridiculous. Both of them.
I mean, the last drive was all him.
The last drive,
two catches for 82 yards and a touchdown. All him.
And they're not going to be easy catches, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, the throw to Berrios is a catchable ball in the end zone. And the throw he made to Jeff Smith was a perfect throw.
Yeah.
A perfect throw. And they get no help. They get no help.
They're not talented. I mean, that's what it comes down to, doesn't
it? So that's exactly why you don't fire Adam Gase. Because their bottom line is they don't have enough talent to even worry about Joe Douglas evaluating the talent. At this point, you fire him at the end of the season because you want to sell hope to your season ticket holders and everything else and give yourself an opportunity to have the first overall pick.
See, I don't know about that, man. I don't know about that philosophy. Just because we've seen a lot of guys play under Adam Gase down in Miami that have gone other places and had success. Like, we said that Miami didn't have any talent, and lo and behold, Miami had talent. It's just that Adam Gase was holding them back. I don't know that the Jets have a whole lot of guys that can be contributors and a part of this team's long-term future, but you might have a few. And I think it's worth it to find out who those guys are if you actually make a change at the head coaching spot and your team gets that jolt and becomes more competitive. You saw what happened with the Texans yesterday. They fired Bill O'Brien, and guess what? They get their first win of the season. Now, granted, it's against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but still, they got to win. So, I mean, I think you got to do yourself a solid if you're the Jets and try to make your best attempt to evaluate the players that you actually have so you have a definitive answer on whether or not they can be a part of your team's future.
I'm at the point where that doesn't even matter. I mean, I think it's in the best interest of the team just to lose as many games as possible.
I don't think you have to worry.
I don't either. I think you're probably going to lose.
Bring in Bill Parcells to finish out the season. I don't think you're winning maybe a game.
Maybe. Just based on what the Dolphins did yesterday, Dave, I don't know where that win is coming from.
Did you see the spread on the game? They're 8.5-point underdogs to Miami.
It was 9 when you took it. It was 9 when you took it on Friday.
I'm saying the Jets-Dolphins game this
weekend. Oh, yeah. Well, how could it not be? I mean, the Dolphins just absolutely slapped around the Niners.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to bench Jimmy Garoppolo.
I have no doubt that the Dolphins are going to cover. No doubt.
And what did I say before the season started? My biggest fear was that the Jets would be worse than the Miami Dolphins.
You did say that.
Oh, I don't even think it's close.
It's not. It's not even close. I mean, you just mentioned the number on the game.
The Jets are the worst team in the league.
And it's not even close.
It's not close.
When you lack talent, and then on top of it, you show no effort, You don't play with effort. What do you think is going to happen?
This is what I think is going to happen. This is exactly what I expect. Happen. I mean, they do. They give you exactly what you anticipate them giving you every single week. Right? I mean, they're consistent, I'll tell you that. You don't go into a game thinking, boy, we're gonna play great. We're going to compete. We're going to be in it. We're going to get, you know, they are exactly what you would expect them to be. They go out there. They get beaten up. It's the same song and dance. It's, I don't know why we don't play well because we practice so well during the week. Let's listen. Here's Adam Gase after the game. He doesn't understand what happens because they're practicing so well heading into these games.
If you watch these guys practice, you watch these guys, how they go through the week and the effort and how these guys are trying to get all this stuff right, figure out a way to correct the mistakes that are made. And I mean, if you were there day in and day out and saw those guys, how they practiced last week, you wouldn't know what our record was. Wednesday and Thursday, those guys, they came out and it was max effort. I mean, they were flying around, they competed. The execution was really good. Friday, not practicing Friday, kind of, you know, took the wind out of our sails a little bit, you know, I mean, but I thought they did a good job Saturday when they came in and we kind of extended the day and tried to make up for all that stuff, you know, through walkthroughs and going through the practice the day before. I mean, it just, you know, I guess it's just what I see at practice, the result, it just doesn't match up.
I don't know what to say. Like we watch, and this is exactly what we expect. They're having these world-class practices, and then all of a sudden they just don't show up in the game?
But we know they're not having world-class practices.
Exactly.
How many guys in the Jets have to tell you that have come from different teams that have said this is not how good teams practice?
It's the first thing Bradley McDougal said when he got here. It's the first thing he said.
What he just said was, and that's in response to the fact that we all know that this team is a complete hot mess.
But, Rick, who gives a damn about practice? Who cares? Bill Parcells said it all the time. Don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby. Who cares about practice? Nobody cares about anything other than the results of what you do on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever you play. It's the only thing that people care about. And you are what your record says you are. And your record as 0-5, you're the worst team in football. You're the worst team in football.
Yes. Yes, you are. And there's no two ways about it. And the Giants stink. And I certainly will beat up on the Giants in just a moment. But it's not close.
I feel if the Giants and the Jets played, I have no doubt that the Giants would win that game. I have no doubt. No doubt in my mind.
Like the Giants are bad, and the Giants stink, and the Giants deserve to be beaten up.
And we'll get to them. We'll get to them today.
But the Jets are on a completely different level of horrendous.
The Jets
are non-competitive is what they are right now.
Dave, this is 2017 Cleveland Browns, 2008 Detroit Lions bad. Like, you could go 0-16. Matter of fact, I don't even want to say could. Like, I'd be surprised if they didn't go 0-16. That's the point that I'm at right now with the Jets after watching what I'm watching week after week.
But, Chris, teams really don't go 0-16.
No, Dave, I understand that doesn't happen. You're talking about a once-in-a-decade phenomenon. But have you looked at the rest of the Jets' schedule?
Yeah, I know, but it's not like – who are they going to beat? Happens,
Dave. Who are they going to beat? Now, I know with COVID, anything can happen. Guys can be out, whatever. But who are they going to beat? Who are they going to beat? Just help me out. Are they going to beat Buffalo? Are they going to beat the Raiders?
No.
I mean, are they going to beat the Browns?
No.
Okay. Who are they going to beat?
I don't. I mean, you're right. I look at every game and I'm like, well, they're not going to win that, and they're not going to beat the Chargers, they're not going to beat Miami. But I can't. I mean, 0-16 is historic. 0-16 is, I mean, that it happens, like you said, like generationally.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell Jets fans, but yeah, you're probably not going to win many, if any, games this year. You're going to have the number one overall pick, and you're going to be in a situation where you're probably moving on from the third overall pick that you had three seasons ago.
Definitively.
Yes.
I don't even think that's
and selling them for pennies on the dollar.
Definitively, yes.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. But you have hope.
You'll get to go watch them go to a well-run organization with good coaching and flourish.
Could you imagine though? This probably won't happen. But could you imagine if the Jets do go 0-16 and Trevor Lawrence decides to stay at Clemson?
Oh my God! Who went first? Denzel Mims or Chase Claypool?
Claypool.
Claypool went before
Mims. No, they had the chance to take Claypool. They traded the pick.
Yeah, they had the chance to take Claypool. Mm-hmm.
Claypool went the pick after where the Jets were supposed to pick in the second round.
Right, so they could have had Claypool, who had four touchdowns yesterday.
Yeah, Claypool was the 49th pick.
I mean, you go through that. I mean, go through the list of receivers taken in last year's draft. I mean, you saw what Ruggs did yesterday.
Yep.
Jefferson is a beast.
He's a beast.
A beast.
T. Higgins, beast. Chase Claypool had an unbelievable day yesterday.
CeeDee Lamb is nice.
Oh, real nice. He made some unbelievable catches yesterday.
It's terrific. I mean, he might be the best receiver right now.
This past year was a hell of a receiver draft. And the Jets just happened to get the guy in the first two rounds that's not really playing a lot.
Laviska Shenault is good.
Very.
Oh, yeah, very good.
You name it.
He's a Swiss Army knife, dude. He can do everything.
He can do everything, too. But again, we haven't seen our guy yet.
Yeah, you haven't seen your guy. We don't know what he's going to be. We don't. You don't like the fact that he's hurt, but we don't know what he's going to be. So I guess the jury's still out. But the fact that he's unavailable to help your young quarterback when you knew that you were going to need weapons coming into this year to evaluate him, that's the part about it that makes it tough, man. You can't give the Jets a pass, though.
No, Joe Douglas did him no favors. Douglas did not did Sam Darnold no favors.
He did one favor. He got him Mekhi Becton.
Yeah,
he's not playing right now. But
you've seen how many times you need to see it in the NFL. Of all the four major sports, coaching in the NFL is the most important.
No question.
The most important.
No question.
And if you got a guy that you're trying to develop, the best thing to do is surround him with talent, which they haven't done, and get him a coach that will get the best out of him, which they also haven't done.
Yeah, but I guess Joe Douglas is looking at it from the standpoint of giving Adam Gase another chance because they did have that second half, and he does owe, his job, in a sense, to Adam Gase. I mean, the reason why Joe Douglas got the job as the GM is because he had a pre-existing relationship with Gase.
Correct.
And they worked well together. So we thought.
Yeah, when does that start?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it will start, Dave. I think it's clear that Joe Douglas is going to have to make the tough decision to get rid of Adam Gase. It's an obvious decision, though. It's something that everybody else around football has been talking about the Jets needing to do for the longest. After you saw the first couple of games, you knew what kind of season it was going to be for this team.
They're not competitive.
Dave, your best guess, both of you guys. What do you think the Jets average as far as points are concerned under Adam Gase when Sam Darnold does not play? When Darnold does not play, what do you think the Jets average point-wise with Gase as the head coach?
11 points a game.
Eight.
Touchdown.
Eight?
Yeah.
8 points.
Touchdown, yeah.
The Jets can't win without Sam Darnold, so I don't know how much of it is it Sam Darnold? Like, I don't know. Like, they're 0-7 without Sam Darnold. When he doesn't start, they don't win, and they don't score any points. They score an average of 11 points. Over the 3 years, when he doesn't play, they score 11 points and lose every game.
You just said eight.
No, that's with Gase. This is also with Bowles. I'm saying they average 11 total. Over the 3 years, when he misses games, they don't win. They're 0-7. And they score an average of 11 points. Under Gase, it's even worse. They score an average of 8 points.
Well, Sam Darnold, I don't think Sam Darnold is the problem, Rick. I've been saying that the last 2 years. I don't think Sam Darnold is the issue with this team. I really don't.
I think it's going to matter, though.
What'd you say?
That's the
problem. Don't think it's going to matter. Like, he's going to lose his job, his job with the Jets because of what's happening. Even if it's not his fault, it's gonna end his tenure with the Jets.
Dave, I agree. It's not his fault.
Not his fault. Still, it's going to come down to...
I mean, when Drew Brees was with the Chargers, he got hurt. I mean, it wasn't his fault. But guess what? The Chargers decided they were going to draft a quarterback, and then they ended up shipping Drew Brees to New Orleans. It happens. You become a victim of circumstances sometimes. That's just what it is in the NFL. But it's unfortunate because Sam Darnold has – it's unfortunate because Sam Darnold does have the talent to be a franchise quarterback, and he's not going to realize that with the team that used the third overall pick on him when he was drafted 3 years ago. It's going to be another team that benefits from that.
Saints.
Yeah, it's going to be the Saints. Like Rick said, the Colts, the Steelers.
Yep.
49ers. You know they're going to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. So, I mean, it's going to be one of those teams that's going to benefit from it. Because guess what? That team typically wouldn't be in place to get a guy that has the kind of talent that Sam has.
You're going to end up doing him a favor.
Sure.
You're gonna set him free.
Doesn't he deserve it, though?
Yes.
After the first 3 years with the Jets, he kind of deserves it. Like, I'm rooting for Sam to get out of here now.
And you wonder why Jamal Adams. Now, was he a pain in the ass and you don't like how he handled it? Absolutely. But, I mean, you can understand why. No, he was exactly right. He was not wrong.
He wasn't wrong.
But Chris, and I get it. You don't want to lose games, and you don't. I mean, should they fire Adam Gase today? Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
But is it what's in their best interest when they're going to need to find a new head coach after the season is over? I would say losing as many games as possible and having the first overall pick, because there will be other jobs available, and we all know. I mean, there is a certain stink around the New York Jets and how it's run. To have the first overall pick would make it way more attractive.
I hear what you're saying, Rick, but I mean, Atlanta's going to win a game this year.
Yes.
The Giants are going to win a game this year.
Yes, possibly this week.
Yeah, even if the Jets make a coaching change, they're not winning. I don't think they're winning no games this year, bro. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah, but what happens if all of a sudden you end up, you know, you fire Adam Gase and you elevate the country duo of Loggins and Cooter and they get the best out of Sam Darnold?
What do you
he
mean?
Starts
what
winning
happens?
Games, and what they start mean, winning games, and then all of a sudden you don't, because that's in typical Jets fashion. I mean, Adam Gase is that bad. We all realize it, except Chris Johnson. I don't want to take the chance.
I don't think you have.
And
to
you'd
worry.
Be saying the same. And don't pretend like you wouldn't be saying the exact same thing if this was your team. You'd be saying the exact
same thing.
Here's the thing,
Rick. I really don't think it matters. I think you could get.
But
Belichick
why even
to
find out?
This season?
But why even find out? You can't have fans at games anyway. You're not losing money because you can't sell tickets.
So keep them.
That's what I'm saying. Keep them.
That's fine. I mean,
if I
got to
suffer, make him suffer. Make him suffer. Make him get in front of a microphone after every game and explain why his team is useless and doesn't try for him.
So keep him.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I don't think it matters one way or the other.
But I think it does matter from a competitiveness standpoint. Like, if you continue to go out there and be non-competitive in all of these games, just remember, that's a part of the culture that you're building down there. And that doesn't get changed with just the flip of a switch. That doesn't get changed with just drafting one player. And that's the part of this that I just feel like the Jets are falling into dangerous territory. Like, there has to be a standard in terms of effort, in terms of compete. And the Jets are falling far below that right now. And I just feel like there's nobody being held accountable in that building. And until you make a coaching change, you're not going to have anybody held accountable. Because guess what? The head coach doesn't accept his mistakes. He tries to defer and he tries to deflect and put it on other people or circumstances. Like not being able to be in the building on Friday for practice, which is ridiculous because everybody in the NFL is dealing with the realities of COVID. I don't even understand why you would bring that up in a post-game press conference, because all it sounds like is an excuse as to why your team didn't play well. I'm tired of the excuses from Adam Gase. I'm tired of the organization trying to back him and support him. The reality is the guy ain't getting it done. So if the fan base is willing to accept it looking like this for the rest of the year, then so be it. But I just don't think that's what's in the best interest of your program or the guys that you got in that locker room.
Yeah, but how many guys in this locker room? I mean, are going to be a part of this team moving forward anyway?
You're going to need a lot of these guys in that locker room right now to help support whatever young quarterback you draft next year. You're going to need a lot. You can't turn over the entire roster in one offseason. You're going to need some of them guys.
All I know is if I'm Eric Bieniemy or I'm Josh McDaniels or I'm one of these coaches that I'm looking to hire, and I have a Jets team. We've seen this. I mean, Chris, you didn't sign with the Jets for that reason.
Yeah,
right? I mean, this is not, I mean, people in NFL circles do not hold the Jets in high regard. I mean, you see how Bill Belichick feels about the New York Jets.
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, the moment when I realized people in the NFL don't hold the Jets in a high regard, I think it was in the third quarter where the Cardinals had a fourth down in their own territory and they decided they were going to go for it with that play action pass with a tight end block. Then he released and he caught a wide open pass. Took it about 20 yards. Do you remember that play?
Yeah, it was Daniels. Yeah, it was Daniels.
It's completely disrespectful, though. At that point, it's a one-possession game. If it's a turnover on downs, the Jets can kick a field goal right there. They can put points on the board. So in a one-possession game on fourth and one, deep in your own territory, you decided that you were going to go for it. You know why? Because they have absolutely no fear that the Jets were going to be able to climb back in that game and win. None.
Because they couldn't, and they wouldn't.
Well, because you know the worst thing that's going to happen is they're going to kick a field goal.
They had first and goal at the 10, and when they got the ball, you're like, well, they'll probably get a field goal out of this. Like, you had no confidence whatsoever. And then they shoot themselves right in the foot, and now it's first and goal at the 15.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else I'm going to tell you.
They're a disaster.
No, they're worse than a disaster. I mean,
they're a disaster.
I don't know if it's fixable. I mean, that really is the problem. I don't know at this point if it's fixable.
So ever?
If you can't fix it. But if you can't fix it, if I'm Eric, there's a handful of coaches that I would love to see coach this team. Eric Bieniemy is on the top of that list. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, and I've already heard horror stories about how the New York Jets are run with, you know, ownership and everything else. If it's the choice between Deshaun Watson and the Texans or, you know, all the talent on the offensive side of the ball in Atlanta, and then there's the Jets, and they don't have the first overall pick because they accidentally won a few games, I'll tell you which job I'm not going to pick.
I agree with you.
And
by
the way, with that Texans job, you might be able to pick your own general manager too.
That's right. You might be the decision maker. But how about the fact that if you have the number one pick and it's Trevor Lawrence and he's considered a generational talent, the best prospect since Andrew Luck, it makes the job somewhat attractive, no?
You're just repeating what I'm saying. How many times are you going to repeat what I'm saying? That's what I've spent the last 27 minutes telling you is why I would keep Adam Gase.
It's not going to matter. They're not winning games.
I don't want to find out. If I'm going to suffer watching this team every week because I have to, because I'm contractually obligated because we have to talk about it on the show, then he should suffer with me.
Well, he shouldn't get to be
fired and go sit home and not, because you know he ain't turning the games on when he gets fired, and get paid to do it.
We're in week 6 and you're already rooting for your team to lose. That is mind-boggling,
because
man.
What's the upside for him? 2 wins? 3 wins? No,
I know, Dave, but so early on in the season, you're already rooting against them just so you can get a better draft pick? It's really unbelievable.
I agree with that. I think he's 100% right. I did it last year with the Giants. I think that's the right play from a Jets fan.
You're still upset about that Washington game, are you?
Yeah. Especially watching Andrew Thomas yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, he's bad.
He did not play well. I'm not saying he's going to be bad, but he does not look good.
But Dave, he's getting worse. He's getting worse. It's not getting better. He's getting worse.
I agree.
You can blame Daniel Jones all day for that fumble, but I mean, Andrew Thomas completely whiffs on DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, but there's plenty of quarterbacks that get blindsided that don't drop.
Hang on to the football.
Yeah, exactly. I can't, like, Daniel Jones, at some point, that's got to stop. I know we're getting to the Giants. That's got to stop.
Santi, hit my music. Got a big announcement, fellas. Big announcement.
What are you a champion in?
All right, so you already know I got the multiple men's baseball championships. Multiple.
Right, yes. Which is not taking place now, yes.
It's not taking place. Well, it did. I mean, I didn't play. Team was didn't go well. Also have the men's hockey championships up in Lake Placid, MVP, the whole, you know, LeBron James-ish. You know what I mean? Like, you win the championship and then you get the MVP of the tournament.
Okay.
Little did you guys realize, little unknown fact about Uncle Rick. Apparently, I can't draw, I can't sing, but what I can do is I can carve the hell out of a pumpkin, is what I can do.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh.
Milo DiPietro, Ella DiPietro, in concert with Dad and Mom, pumpkin carving champions for Portland.
How did this work? Like, you had all the time you wanted, and then you submitted a pumpkin? You were together in front of other pumpkin carvers, and you all carved, and then they decided who was the best one? How did this
work? No, here's what happened. So it was, we were given the pumpkin. We had to go pick it up at the school because the kids are doing the online school. We picked the pumpkin up, had that night to make the decision. Go funny pumpkin, you could go Portland Pride pumpkin, or you could go most creative pumpkin. Milo, initial, because he's mini me, he wanted to do a funny pumpkin. Couldn't come up with any funny pumpkin idea. I don't know how you make a funny pumpkin. So we went with Portland Pride pumpkin. We carved it that night. We submitted it. It went against other Portland Pride pumpkins, and we came out victorious.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Yes.
Now, is there any kind of a payoff or just the pride of champion?
Just the pride of being a champion.
So it's not like.
Can you post a photo of the championship pumpkin?
I can send you guys a photo.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'll send it right now.
Yeah. You won't put it on social media?
I'm not a big social media guy, no.
Yeah, but I think that the people would love to see the pumpkin.
Yeah, but, you know, I just think that people now you have to use your imagination about the pumpkin.
Can I post it on social media?
No.
No. So all this amazing pumpkin work does not get to be seen because you're anti-social media.
I'm holding a pumpkin on my head right now.
You know where you go from there. That's funny. I'd like to see it at a minimum. Like to see
all right, I'm sending it. I'll send it to you now.
All right, let's get to the calls because people are up in arms, and rightfully so. We'll get to the Giants in a couple minutes. Ira, Staten Island. Ira, it's got to be rock bottom for you, no?
We hit rock bottom after week two. This is below rock bottom. I mean, 24 years ago, I heard sound bites of a coach that went 1-15 about how hard they practice and how what a good week of practice, but they don't get it. And now, 24 years later, I hear the same thing. I mean, Rick, I totally understand your point. You know, why get rid of him at this point? But I understand Chris's argument because somebody's got to start setting some type of culture, and that's going to be on Joe Douglas, even though the next head coach isn't here. But this is beyond embarrassing. That Wesco play was unbelievable. And by the way, he pulled that out of his bag of tricks, but he used that against the Giants last year on a 4th-and-1, and he actually converted.
Of course he did.
Come back a second time, you know. But it's just Bell tweets he wants out. I thought he'd be traded before the trade deadline if they could get somebody to eat half his salary. Hopefully they do that. But this is a complete dumpster fire right now. And I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth because I love this organization. I love the team. And you know what? It's hard to watch the games. I can't believe I'm saying I'm having a hard time turning on Jet games because this is the product they put on the field. And the Gase thing is sealed. I'm not even going to get on the head coach. Now I'm going to put the heat on Douglas because to put together this roster, unless he had in plan that he already knew what Gase was and he's going to get rid of him at the end of this year, and he knew what Donald is and he wants to get that number one pick, then I would have concerns because the roster they have right now is just it's not non-competitive. I mean, if Clemson came in, Clemson could probably give them a ball game if not beat them. Rick, you do not have to worry about them winning a game. And, you know, unless, God forbid, something happens to a team and a bunch of guys get sick, they're not winning a game this year.
Yeah, but Ira, why should we be the only ones that suffer? Well, why just all of a sudden let him take a vacation, get paid, and not have to watch this team play?
Well, no, I get it. Listen, I think they just have to get him out of the building. They have to change the vibe over there. But you know what? I understand your point. To keep him, it's not going to. You don't have to worry about guaranteeing that we're not going to win because whether Gase is coaching or Frank Bush is coaching or Kuhn is coaching, they're not going to win a game. They don't have the talent. They don't have the mindset. These players accept losing, and that's the problem. It starts at the top. You know, mediocre and losing is accepted there. They don't want it. They try not to let happen, but they don't know how to get out of their own way. And this is the biggest problem. And
I thought the 6-2 second half of last season was going to carry over. I thought momentum would carry over.
Well, I guess I was blind to that. I really was. And that, you know, you rethink that. I was wrong. That was basically because they were playing teams with.
They were playing the Sisters of the Poor, and they played teams that weren't even trying to win. And thanks to the call, Ira. They played Buffalo, where Buffalo gave you the game. Really, they said, you please go win the game. We're not going to play anybody. And the Jets almost didn't win the game.
You know what? I know Rick wants to criticize Joe Douglas, and I'm not saying that he should be absolved of any criticism. But the one thing that I will say that kind of sounds ridiculous when you think about it, Joe Douglas before the season said that they were tired of hearing all the chirping around town and all the disrespect. I don't even understand how you could make a statement like that knowing that your team would have been capable of getting out to this kind of start. Like, how do you do that? If you're Joe Douglas, you know what a good football team looks like, and you know what a bad football team looks like.
He was so upset and horrified that people would have this notion that this was an awful team. He was upset with that when he was asked that.
It was absolutely ridiculous for him to be upset with it because he probably knew that he had a bad team. He punted on the season before it even started. He traded Jamal Adams to the Seattle Seahawks. You trade your best player for two first-round draft picks that does not scream of a general manager that thinks his team is capable of making a playoff push. It's not. So the fact that he would actually come out and make that kind of a statement just seems so ridiculous right now.
Looking at what they are, looking that if things go well, they'd win a game or two. I mean, if things go great, they'll go 2-14.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. If things go as well as they possibly can, this will be a 2-14 football team.
Dave, you asked me on Friday over under 1.5 wins for the Jets season. And without hesitation, I told you, under. Like, I'm not worried about it. Like, Rick is worried about the Jets somehow jeopardizing their standing with getting the first overall pick. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about it at all.
This Jets team is terrible. I think Adam Gase deserves to wear this. But this should go on his permanent record this entire season.
But you think he's going to coach again?
He's never going to get a head coaching job again. Ever. He's never going to get a head coaching job.
It feels spiteful from you, though. Why do you need to see him finish the season?
Because he should wear this with us. He should have to.
Why?
He should suffer through this. Because I don't even want. Because this team 100% lacks talent. But I don't know if you've seen this team actually play hard for their head coach. So we can sit here and well, they're not going to win a game, or they'll win a couple games. Even if you fire Adam Gase, they're just not good enough. I don't want to take that risk. There's no need to risk that at this point. The season is over.
Yeah, but you're wasting 11 games to be able to develop young players. And if your team is not going to go out there and compete, if you're not going to get the requisite effort that it takes to go out there and hang in an NFL game, then you're missing an opportunity to develop some of the young players that you do have on this roster. I don't think you just forfeit that.
The only reason that you would fire him and hope something changes, if it's, you know, whoever ends up, you know, being the one that calls the plays, if it's Cooter, if it's Lowe, whoever it ends up being, is because you're so bad, you'll just keep losing, and you'll get the first overall pick. But at the same time, hope that Sam Darnold actually plays well, so you'll increase his trade value. That would be the only argument.
Yeah. And you're hoping that other young players play well as also. Like, you're also looking for those other young guys that just needed an opportunity, that just needed a little more structure, or needed a coach to recognize their skill sets and put them in positions where they can be successful. You're hoping that you can find that if you make that coaching change.
But Chris,
because if you don't make a coaching change, you have no chance. If you don't make a coaching change, you have no chance of seeing any of that. None. Because the players realize there's no path to victory. They got no shot every time they take the field.
But there's only three young players I care about. And we're not seeing them because Becton's hurt, Darnold's hurt, and Mims is hurt.
They're not going to be hurt for the entire year.
If they smart, they'd be.
Shut it down now. You're funny. If they're smart, they'd be. Oh, my leg. Oh, God. The Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. So tonight, 8:30, and we're supposed to be a doubleheader, but that's not going to happen because the Patriots game has been called off. And then all sorts of things are jumbled as far as the NFL schedule. But the game we have tonight, Chargers and Saints, and that game will be played down in New Orleans, and it's 8:30 on ESPN. We get to see Justin Herbert, and Chris, it's his job now. So we get to watch the young quarterback play for the Chargers.
Yeah, he deserves it, man. The way that the kid is playing, he absolutely deserves it. Yeah, no question about it. He's their guy.
And then no Michael Thomas, Rick. Right?
Yeah. And that's not for injuries. That's for discipline.
Right.
Which I thought was a little bit curious. But yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if the Chargers go down there and get a win on Monday Night Football.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is the shine kind of off things for the Saints for you?
Well, I told you how I felt about Drew Brees coming into this season, Dave. I told you. I thought Drew Brees was washed up, and there's nothing that I've seen that should move me off of that position.
But Alvin Kamara's a stud.
He is a stud.
Oh, he's a beast.
His defense is pretty good.
He's a beast.
It's amazing,
That is the thing, Rico. Alvin Kamara is actually better than I thought he was.
He's great.
And seeing Drew Brees like this, Alvin Kamara, I'm realizing, is better than I thought he was.
Well, that's probably just because of last year, too. I mean, he played through injury last year. He wasn't as good as he was. You know what I mean? Like, last year was not a great year for Alvin Kamara. And now coming back fully healthy. But, I mean, isn't it amazing? Justin Herbert, I mean, the rookie, right? New system, you know, trying to new language, everything. But all of a sudden, I mean, you put him in a spot where he finds out, I mean, the day of the game, because your doctor punctured Tyrod Taylor's lungs that he's playing. Jumps in. Because guess what? There's all sorts of talent on the football field around him. Gets the throw to Keenan Allen, Dave's favorite Hunter Henry. You had Austin Eckler before he blew out his hamstring. I mean,
there's talent. Mike Williams, right? There's real talent there.
But at least you're scratching your head. Like, I was listening to, you guys watched the NBA Finals last night. You know what Ben Gundy said. Every team wants to be Miami. Every team wants to be San Antonio. And yet they make the opposite decisions that those teams make and expect the same result. you just can't. You couldn't tell what you were doing to Sam Darnold? Like, hey, Chris, you played in the NFL. You won a Super Bowl. Hey, Chris, what's going to happen when the Jets sign Breshad Perriman? How's that going to work out?
It's not, because Breshad Perriman can't stay healthy.
Robbie Anderson is on pace for 1,500 yards.
And do you see what he said about Carolina and why he's so happy to be in Carolina?
Loves it.
Well, because they're actually using him the way he, you know.
Yeah.
That's and they have a true number one receiver in Carolina and DJ Moore. So Robbie doesn't have to be the guy.
That Monday night preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Just to make you sicker, and it won't stay like this, but just to make you a little bit sicker today, if the season were to end today, you know where the Jets would select?
Second overall.
Third overall.
That's great.
The Giants would have the one, the Falcons would have the two. And
you know what, too? Here's the thing, though, and I'm going to get, I'll continue to just gain weight, is because I was so upset yesterday, I ate my feelings again. Gorged myself with pizza yesterday. Couldn't stop.
Well, I think you have to. At least on Sundays.
Exactly right.
You can't be going egg whites and tofu when your football team's playing like that. You can't.
No, it's impossible. So, I mean, now I got to go buffalo chicken pizza and taco pizza.
Yeah.
And a couple of slices of grandma's
pizza. Punish yourself. I agree.
I feel gross today. So not only am I upset and dead inside, I also feel disgusting.
Heavy today.
Heavy. I feel like I'm sweating. Like my sweat smells like pepperoni right now. It's disgusting.
It's the birthday boy. Let's all wish him a very happy birthday. That is the great Andy. Very positive and optimistic Andy from Merrick. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you. Good morning, DCR. You know, Sherry talked to me about getting an extra scoop of ice cream. She said something about Chunky Monkey, but maybe she was referring to Dave.
Wow.
Shots fired.
I got some Monday baseball for you, boys. Going to take you down to H-Town where they bang on the garbage cans with four straight down the middle questions. Gentlemen, Jeff Bagwell is the Astros' all-time home run leader. Can you tell me number two?
You think it's Berkman, guys?
Ooh, a little wreck. Mm-hmm.
Could be, no?
Mm.
Biggio or Berkman would be my guess, but I would say Berkman.
And Berkman would be correct.
Nice.
Nice, yes. Dave.
That a boy, David.
Including Jackie Robinson's number 42, there are 10 Astro uniform numbers that have been retired. Only two are outfielders. Can you name them both?
Astros retired numbers.
Numbers 24 and 25.
Look, he's giving hints.
So Jimmy Wynn, then.
It's because he feels bad.
The toy cannon, Jimmy Wynn's one.
And then Jose Cruz.
Jose, can you see Cruz? Okay. Nice, Dave. All right, let's go on the bump. Who holds the Astros record for most wins with 144?
Most wins. Come on, Canty, you love the Astros.
Come on, man. Don't start that. The wound is still fresh.
Were you happy that the Astros lost yesterday? Come on.
You had to feel good.
I was happy that they lost, but I would rather be the team that's beating them rather than...
So what are we doing? What's the question here? Remind me the question again.
most wins by an Astro pitcher, 144.
Could be Oswald. No.
That the most wins they have is 144?
Correct. And I will tell you, Oswald had 143.
Is it Joe Niekro?
Yeah, I don't know this one.
Joe Nuxie Niekro.
Nice, Dave.
Dave on fire.
Man.
And finally, there is one Astro pitcher who accumulated 22 wins in a single season, their club record. Can you name him?
Ooh, 22 wins in a season.
Hmm. Is that a...
Was he a lefty?
He was.
Hampton.
The Secretary of Education, Mike Hampton. Fellas, let's stay careful out there, and as always, stay healthy, boys.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Dave, at least throw some ice cream down the stairs for
him. Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know why Andy had to go with the Houston Astros, man. The wound is still fresh from Friday.
Of course it is.
It's unfortunate for us that they lost.
For you.
State of New York football.
That was a hell of an at-bat by Brousseau.
That was a great at-bat. And considering what happened earlier in the season, I mean, you talk about vindication. He must have felt unbelievable after that home run.
And
huh?
can the Yankees and Aaron Judge do me just a small, and I'm not even a Yankees fan, you guys know that. Just do me a small favor. Could you stop playing New York after you win games? Because clearly it aggravates the other team.
Yeah, well, they mock you now.
Because they mock you with it
mm-hmm.
every time you lose. How about play that after you finish up the series and win it, then you play it?
Yeah. That is now used in mockery after you've lost.
Well, clearly it's motivation. I mean, you can say what you want. Clearly they're motivated by it because they decided to play it in the dugout.
Well, we knew that before the series. Tampa hates the – this is a hatred kind of series. These two teams did not like each other. You saw the way that Cole was chirping and how they reacted to that.
Yeah, and Cole was good too.
He was terrific. Wasn't his fault. Yankees had three hits on Friday.
Yeah, three hits. I mean, their bullpen was – I mean, listen, we said it before the series. I mean, you know, top-tier guys. You got Chapman and you got Britton. But as far as depth in the bullpen –
their bullpen is
the versatility
better, yes.
Of their bullpen is ridiculous.
You saw it last night, too. Their bullpen is better.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.